This is the Porter Pickups Tonecast, episode 16. Today, we will talk about the state of the gear industry. Welcome, and thanks again for listening. I'm Brian, here in the studio with Derek. Hey, Derek.
What up? So, we're here again.
Yes, we are. And this is kind of a broad topic, so I'm really looking forward to kind of just going for it. State of the gear industry is very, very vague, but very ominous at the same time. So
it's very presidential, honestly.
It is kind of. We were thinking about doing like the patriotic music behind the state of the gear industry, but
I might still do it. I don't know.
I guess we could always throw it in. You know, talk for half an hour and just have it going the whole time.
The whole time. It's just going to loop in the background.
Right. So one of the things that Derek and I have been talking about for those who have listened to the Tonecast is our intro song. We love it. We love Jack, who recorded that intro song for us and had him on a previous episode of the podcast. We thought we would take a stab at recording our own intros to the podcast just for fun. So maybe one of these future shows that I'll sit down and we'll do the same track, but maybe I'll record an intro and Derek will record an intro and we can have a little guitar off.
It'll be battle of the bands.
Yeah. So keep bugging us about that. If you don't see it within the next couple episodes, we want some really angry emails to our podcast.
It's a first. I feel like there aren't many companies out there that invite the angry emails.
Yeah.
You know, but here at Porter Pickups, we're different.
It's more of accountability because even we were thinking about doing it this episode, and they were like, well, we just had a really busy week and we got a lot of stuff going on, and then we're kind of like those guitarists that are like real serious, and then it comes time to play the gig and we're like, I'm busy, so so it'll be bad, it'll be ugly, but we'll be doing that soon, so I'm looking forward to that.
It's gonna be fun. Well, state of the gear industry, like you said, it's a really broad topic. And I don't know. I think we have like this really short outline of what we want to do. I think this is probably the smallest sheet of paper we've ever printed for a podcast. But I'm kind of excited just to see where the discussion leads. I think you and I have two very different opinions, or not opinions necessarily, but perspectives from, you know, you being in this industry almost a decade now and being really a part of a lot of relationships in the industry and that kind of stuff. And for me, this is all really new for me. I mean, as of January, really being enveloped into the music industry a little more. I've always been a gear nerd and that kind of stuff, but I've never kind of worked inside of this environment. So I'm excited about the discussion a little bit. I kind of wanted to start out with just sort of from your perspective, Brian, kind of, I don't know, where we stand as a business, where we're kind of poised right now, and also maybe some of the things that you've seen in the last few years that have changed the dynamic of how we do business.
Sure, yeah, and that's just kind of the fun of this is making this topic so broad that we can kind of just go anywhere, and it's fun. I think for us, this will be interesting to see how we do, like not staying with an outline. You know, as far as like where the business is at, you know, we've gone through a lot of changes just as we've grown, and as we've gone from, like, you know, early years in a spare room in the garage at my house to getting a shop to expanding the shop, and you know, throughout that progression, I think a lot of our challenges have been, you know, how do we grow smartly, what are decisions that we make that are going to impact the next year or the next couple years. Some of that have been like, you know, small stuff where it's like, you know, let's decide to buy this machine because, you know, for example, like our laser, you know, we bought our laser because there are some different places we were buying flat work from, you know, several years ago. It's like they couldn't keep up with the demand and we wanted to just make our own parts. We wanted to make our own stuff. And so that became like, you know, one of those decisions that, you know, I feel like now it's like every decision gets kind of bigger and bigger. You know, it's like they carry more weight, you know, as we support multiple people now with this business and, you know, family and just trying to make decisions, but trying to stay around and trying to last in the gear industry that can have waves and trends. So I don't know if that answers the question there, but like we can go deeper in some of the areas.
Yeah, well, I mean, you right there at the end, you mentioned a little bit about just waves and trends. Maybe kind of speak to a little bit of what's different for you. This is going to be a huge question again, but maybe what is different for you than it was 6 years ago when you were in your garage. Like, as far as, I don't know. I mean, are you selling to more builders now? Are you selling to more people now? You know, and maybe have you noticed some change in the dynamic of how you kind of interact with the people that we're selling with?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's, I still obviously carry a lot of weight with the business. I'm doing a lot of the emails and all the regular stuff, but now we have help with winding and building pickups. And, you know, so it's, that's been great because we've been able to kind of add those things that take my time away from thinking about the future and thinking about where we want to go. It was, you know, in some ways it was easier because I didn't have to think about much else other than just,
yeah,
you know, paying my own bills by selling enough pickups. And and now it's kind of the same deal, but it's in a broader scale. And it's, like I mentioned, just providing for other people. But
say now you got to pay for my bills too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it becomes a more real thing. And yeah, through that, like, honestly, there's been some times where I've had to really dial in with some of that stuff and really focus on, I mean, that's why I don't feel like it's, I feel like it's more serious, like it was serious back then, but I feel like it's more serious now because of the weight of everything. You know, I put a lot of pressure on myself to do this well. And with that, you know, comes some stressful times and some anxiety and all that. But at the same time, I love what I do and I love the direction that we're going as a company. And so I'm excited about that because early on I started out, you know, I want to provide for my family was my first goal kind of with the business. And we got there within a few years. And then I, you know, my other goal was provide someone else a job. So now that we're starting to do that, it's like really exciting because, you know, I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get rich doing this business and, but I love it. And if I can support my family and support other people, I'm down because that's fun. And it also, I think, you know, over the last couple of years, I think part of that has been really realizing, like, you know, you mentioned with the trends, it's like, what is our place in the industry? Where do we sit in the industry? And what's kind of our vision as a company? So my vision is really like a broad one. It's, you know, inspiring people to play guitar. Well, that's very, you know, simple, mm-hmm. but huge at the same time, because, you know, we want to create products that inspire people to play guitar. We want people to keep playing guitar because we sell guitar accessories that we want to sell those people that are to be inspired. So it's kind of this big circle, but to me, like when we get, you know, what's nice now is like, I still just love getting those emails from customers. Man, thanks for this set. Like I played for 3 hours last night and I never played my guitar for 3 hours. And that kind of stuff is like, you know, that's cooler than looking at the bank account at the end of the month and being like, oh, we made it again this month. Oh, barely. But, but it's one of those things where you're like, man, this is why we do what we do. And so, that's definitely kind of the direction that we've gone and how I've approached it, I guess.
That's awesome. Well, I know like coming on for me, it was very, encouraging from my perspective to know that was kind of almost one of your goals was to get other people involved in this. You know, I think a lot of times it's like something is popular, like we've been popular in and out, you know, and the business has been growing and people almost reluctantly take on staff knowing that they can't keep up with it, but they're a little, you know, scared to, and not to say that you guys weren't scared to, because I know that there's a healthy amount of fear that comes with taking on salaries, but it's also just cool to see that you guys are motivated. That was kind of a core part of your business plan from the beginning, was being able to bring people alongside of you. And it's awesome because as I've kind of come up, you know, been 2.5 years now, I think, working as just a winder part-time and stuff, and now going full-time, it's definitely, I've seen that from the beginning, you know, and that's really awesome. So I love it. So I don't know, as far as kind of, I guess, where we are now, what are kind of, you know, have there been major shifts even in the last year or so? Because we've been, you know, we've been pumping out a pretty healthy amount of pickups for a year or so, but I feel like there have been some just shifts occurring as far as kind of where we sit in the industry and that kind of stuff. And maybe you can speak a little bit to Do you feel like it's been harder to kind of get out there, get some of your product in front of people and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think the challenges are twofold, is where it's like, you know, the industry goes up and down as far as when people are buying and when they aren't buying. And I've talked to several people that said this last fall was really brutal on the industry. It was pretty brutal on us as well. It just kind of, you know, it ebbs and flows. And it's kind of like when you get to a certain size as a company, you have brand new challenges. You know, stuff we're going through this year and switching our business structures, like brand new taxes and, you know, all the like employment stuff that's newer for us to deal with. And so it's like those things come up and you're like, man, this all of a sudden costs a lot more to do this business. And even though, you know, maybe at that time your sales aren't going in the direction that you'd like, or mm-hmm. slow month or whatever. So that's the challenge, I think, for us is like, stuff changes. You know, I personally like have seen the effect on our business of like social media limitations, where Facebook will kill your post reach, or absolutely, Instagram yeah. will kill it. And you're looking at like, man, we have, you know, 18,000 followers on Instagram and we get 100 likes on a post. And you're like, man, that's brutal. I understand like all those are free and they're trying to get you to pay for those marketing things. But you know, as a company, it was like we started doing Instagram and it really took off. And I was basically seeing Instagram being like our major sales outlet, to where we would post something and we would get some responses back in emails sure. and customer engagement. And it's still there. Like it still happens quite often, but it's changed, it's shifted. And so I think our job is trying to figure out, you know, kind of how we stay relevant. Without just throwing money at different things and hoping that it sticks.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think the social media dynamic has maybe been one of the biggest things in the last year that we've seen kind of really affecting our interaction with people. I mean, it just seems like, and I mean, you're right. It's a lot of it is just, it's being clamped down. We're not getting the exposure that we used to get. And I don't know if you feel this way, but I kind of feel like a lot of it also is the Instagram gear hype has kind of died down a little bit, you know? I was talking to you the other day just about how, like, I used to post gear stuff, just me, and hashtag a few, you know, gear talk or whatever, and get, you know, way more likes than I even have follows or whatever. And now it just seems like there's not as much of that gear stuff going on out there. And I don't know. Do you see kind of a future in that? Like, where do you kind of feel like, I guess, social media is going to go? I mean, we've talked about it before. It's like Facebook is almost non-existent at this point as far as we're concerned as a business. There's not quite as much exposure and that kind of stuff. Like, what do you kind of see for the future of that?
Yeah, it's really hard to say. I feel like there needs to be like, and we've been kind of thinking this way a little bit, but kind of just a trend back to like old school stuff, where we just send people, past customers, emails and just say, hey, you know, appreciate your business. And like, I mean, stuff that you look at and you say, this is like a no duh kind of thing as a business, like obviously taking care of your customers and doing all that, because they do have a lot of options. I mean, that's another topic that we can cover here, but there's a ton of gear options for every single type of gear in the industry. And so there's a lot of people kind of clamoring for a customer's attention with a specific product. I mean, think about, you know, pedals. It's like, where do you even start? I mean, if you're a brand new guitarist, where do you even start? And so I think, you know, it's a balance, because I feel like you can't get too into the like the hype thing, because if you ride a hype wave and it dies down, then what are you going to do? So if you get into a bunch of retailers and then all of a sudden no one buys your product and you're ramping up production to keep up with this new big splash that you just made, and then now it's gone.
Yeah.
It can really damage your business. I mean, you can just go under because you're growing too fast, or you're not growing smartly enough. And so I've kind of always subscribed to like the keep your head down and, you know, just focus on things within the walls as much as you can. I mean, there's a lot of noise out there for sure. And it's one of those things where you want to, you know, you want to attack your own business and say like, this is some stuff that we need to work on. And you know, to be honest, I feel like the last probably year or so, we've kind of mentioned the last year or so, is kind of it's been a little bit of a pruning process, you know, for a cheesy analogy. It's kind of like, you know, we want this business to grow well, and
yeah,
for it to grow well, we need to change a few things about it. And so, you know, we've done stuff like stopping pickup repairs and kind of weeding out a little bit of our custom shop stuff. Just because if we spend, you know, a whole entire day on one custom shop pickup, we're actually hurting our core business, which is producing really high quality models that we sell.
Yeah.
And we would rather sell those than we would, you know, one custom one-off that we really can't charge enough money for, you know.
Well, and also I think, I mean, you know, we're always trying to refine our business based on this idea of inspiring people to play. And I think that one of the things that, you know, sometimes just doesn't line up is these, you know, these one-off customs, yeah, they're difficult to do, and sometimes they turn out really awesome and we're excited to have done them, but it's also hard because, you know, if you're asking us to do something that we've never done before, I don't, you know, we can't confidently say how it's going to turn out because we've never done it. And I think along with that, inspiring people to play is right now, especially in our standard line, anything that you can find on the website, we've put our hands on it. We've played through it. We love it. It serves a great purpose, and we can very confidently direct anyone towards anything that we make and kind of say, hey, if this is what you're looking for, then this is going to get the job done. And I think that that's, you know, as we continue to refine things, I think that will be a part of it, is just continuing to refine those options to where, you know, you are getting the best pickup you can get if you're ordering stock. And you know, there's always some aesthetic things to do and that kind of stuff. But really, our core line of things are the things that we're really, really confident about. And I think just, you know, drilling in on that more and more is definitely going to help improve the quality all around, for sure.
Yeah, and those are the things, like you mentioned, those are the things that we are making efforts to continue to do. Like, so if anyone orders a Strat set, it's going to go out today. So we've put in that time to make these models and to produce them consistently and you know, high quality, and make sure that people can now, you know, order them and get them quick, because, you know, let's face it, like, the gear industry is very impatient. I mean, that's, yeah, that's just honesty, you know, like, people want stuff the second they order it, you know, and we realize that, and we try to accommodate as best we can. But one of the things we do offer is quite a bit of custom options within each of the models. So, you know, we can't stock a humbucker set in gold because we don't know when we're going to sell, you know, a smooth bridge in gold. We may not ever sell one for 3 months, 4 months.
Yeah.
So it's like, we try to do stuff where we'll make, you know, we have a stash of wound coils and things like that. And so a customer order, and then we'll fill it accordingly. And it still ends up being a lot faster than if we were to build it completely from scratch. But we know that the stuff that we have stored is the wines that we want. And so,
yeah,
I think that's really been, you know, an element of our business that we've continued to refine even since you came on. I think you came on and you were just cutting wires,
mm-hmm,
and doing some prep stuff when you first got here. And it was like, no, we need to kind of make some significant changes to some of our building methods and some of our just production. I hate using the word production because it sounds like it's not, like, there's no life to it.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I think if people really saw the whole process, they would realize it is still very customized. We've just, like you said, we've settled on some specific wines, and I think, you know, some of it is like sticking to your guns in a way, like, this is what we offer and this is what we need to offer, and stand behind it, like you mentioned, but being able to say like, this, you know, this is a product that is good, and it's a product that we do stand behind, you know?
Absolutely. Well, let's circle back a little bit maybe to trends in the industry and talk a little bit about, you know, you kind of said there's so many options out there right now. I mean, I think that's just been a growing trend for probably 4 or 5 years, you know, just seeing with Instagram becoming a big thing and all this kind of stuff, it's kind of like you really can, like never before, go from, you know, just having a product, having a pedal or an amp or whatever that you made kind of a one-off of or something, to having 300 orders for that same exact thing, you know? And what do you feel like, I mean, maybe two-sided, what do you feel like, from the customer's perspective, what is it doing? And then also, as far as business owners, I mean, how does the industry cope with this idea of, kind of like you said, hey, should I be hiring people to sustainably create this product? Or do I need to wait out the hype and see where it's going to lead when it comes down, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the problems, honestly, is the fact that it is so easy to get exposure. That actually is a problem for some people, because there's been several companies that will do a, you know, this crazy pedal, or they make guitars and they're not really making them, or they're just putting together some parts and then they call it their custom guitar and people freak out and they get, you know, 25 orders and then they don't know what to do with the 25 orders. So some of it is like they have an excitement about what they're making, and I get that, because it's like, I made this gear thing and I think I want to sell it. And then some of those people kind of stumble across like a bunch of exposure right away, and then they get into this trap, you know, where they maybe haven't thought about like the dynamics. You know, stories of like people never setting up a business model, never paying taxes to the IRS, never, you know, doing this, or just kind of flat out lying about what their product is and how they made it or didn't make it or whatever. And so you see that and you think, man, you know, as a company, you hope that, like, you know, one of the things we always try to show people is kind of like, this is our shop. It's not a garage. This is it. You know, we were really building these things. We really have a legitimate business, and not that we need to prove ourselves, but at the same time, it's like, we want to show that we're a legitimate operation.
Yeah.
In the midst of, you know, it becomes very hard to kind of weed through all that stuff. You can present, you know, I don't take the greatest photos, and some people take amazing photos of their products, and all of a sudden people just love them, and it's like, wow, this is amazing. And it totally could be. It's just one of those things where you're looking at it and you're like, man, I, you know, as a company owner, it is challenging, because you're, you know, I try to think of it less of like competition and more just like, you know, what can we provide the customer? Mm-hmm. But, you know, when something comes out and then there's, you know, other companies doing the same thing, or just so many other choices for that customer, they can get confused. And so maybe, you know, they'll go to their next source, which is maybe their friend who says, yeah, you should buy from these guys. They're pretty cool.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's a company that recommends like our business, or, you know, that's how I find out about gear stuff. And that's how you find out about a lot of stuff. Yeah. And you're going to listen to, you know, your buddy first before you listen to the company maybe that's like saying, you should buy my stuff. It's so
absolutely
awesome.
Well, so, I can say from, you know, from a, I guess, kind of consumer perspective a little bit. I mean, I have spent the last, you know, 5 years up until recently really being that guy where it's like my pedal board is different every single month, mm-hmm. you know, and I've always got new things. And I can say one of the things that I've learned from it is that, I mean, the hype is out there. And I think at the end of the day, though, don't just go searching out the next and greatest thing, because I've let go of a lot of gear because I thought, oh, you know, I watched the Instagram post or whatever, and I'm like, oh man, that thing sounds so much better than this, what I got. And then I get it and it kind of sounds the same. And so if you find brands that you like and you find people where it's like, man, this is really good stuff, doesn't mean you can't try something else out, but probably hold on to those ones that you kind of, you know, you cherish quite a bit. I think, like, we were talking just before we started here, we have a Jetter Gold Standard on the shop board here, and it's a, you know, two-sided drive pedal. And, you know, it's not the flashiest thing in the world, but I'll tell you what, that thing can get the job done, and it's got some really, really sweet tones. And I've had some pedals like that. You know, I think, like, trying to think of something that I regret selling more than anything. One of them would probably be the JHS Morning Glory. I loved that pedal, you know. And one day I was just like, oh, I'm just really looking for something else, you know. And so I sold it and I bought this other. And, you know, it was great. The other pedal did a good job, but there was something kind of unknown about the Morning Glory that I really loved. And so I think, like, that's the hard thing, is there's just so much information out there on everything. And you can listen to a million YouTube demos, but none of those guys play exactly the same way you do. And none of those guys have the same amp that you have and then run it through the same, you know, wet effects that you do and all this stuff. And so, you know, I think my lesson learned these days, and I've really calmed down. My pedal board hasn't changed much in about a year. but it's just kind of hold on to those things that you feel like you can get that inspiring sound out of, you know. And if you're searching for something because it just isn't there yet, you know, yeah, give some stuff a try, but don't be too quick to get rid of those things that are working for you.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you.
If it's a full-tone, full-drive too,
because,
you know, that's a solid pedal, and I think it's really overrated, or really underrated, and, you know, it's not the flashiest thing out there, but, you know.
Yeah. I kind of wonder, too, like, along those lines, you know, it's like, how do you, you know, as a business, like, how do I make a product that really does serve a purpose? I mean, we have, like, that tagline, pickups with a purpose, and really, it's like, I want to make something that just doesn't look cool. I want to make something that actually, like, fills that need, because I always approach it very practically, and I appreciate companies that do that as well. It's not, you know, let's just release another Tube Screamer pedal and, you know, put a pretty housing on it and call it, like, our new drive pedal. You know, it's like how can you find something that inspires you and that you want to inspire other people? And I feel like if you just, like, I'm an observer, I guess you could say, when it comes to, like, kind of back to the state of the gear industry thing, but I like to watch what other companies do. I like to learn a lot, like, from the very successful companies, you know, try to, like, watch, you know, what Taylor, PRS do, because I respect the way they do business, you know, read Bob Taylor's book and try to look at it from their perspective and how, you know, how they approached their products and coming into an industry. Because even at the times that they did, it was like, you know, it maybe wasn't as crowded as it is right now. Mm-hmm. But they came in and they built sustainable businesses and grew them to large sizes because of kind of their determination and kind of their figuring out their place that they fit in. And so honestly, like, you know, as I look at the state of the gear industry, I think my challenge is to continue to find those avenues for us. And, you know, we've been working on several things that I feel like are kind of the epitome of that. And I think that people will really gravitate towards those things because it's not just, you know, another product that's out there that's the same as everything else. And you know, we try to put some creativity and uniqueness in the wines that we do and make them consistent and all those things. And so, you know, it's daily, like a daily challenge for me as I'm like, man, how do we keep this thing going? How do I kind of say, like, you know, as the leader of the company, kind of, sounds cheesy that way, but as the leader of the company, it's like, where do we go? Like, how do we fit in this industry? And what are the things that we value? What are the things that we stand for? And how do we make sure that we don't stray from that? You know, someone told me good analogies, like, you're driving a car and you're never going to look to the right or the left or you're going to crash. But if you're looking straight ahead, you're always going to at least be going somewhere.
Sure.
As opposed to kind of like wondering if you're, you know, making the right decision. Of course, there's going to be those big decisions that you've got to make and that you've got to just, like, step up and do. And so I look at the gear industry and I think, you know, Everyone has their different kind of core values and the ways that they approach business. And again, I try to learn. I'm trying to learn as much as I can because I hate business formula books. You know, it's like there's 10 steps to making millions, and I'm just like, I don't know about that. I'd rather just kind of watch a guy that has done it well and try to look for some clues or things. And even, you know, on the negative side is watch some train wrecks and say, like, I can't do that. I can't do what they did. Or here's where I saw where it started to head in the wrong direction. And not, you know, not in a way like I'm superior to them, but just, you know, really like you need examples on both sides when you're learning about business and kind of how to fit in and stay relevant. Say like, okay, I saw that. I didn't think that was a very good move. I don't know their situation, but that seemed like maybe the wrong step at that point. And so if I'm ever in that shoes, like I've seen an example of maybe it going the wrong way. And so how can I not do that in a way?
Well, and even a little bit of, wow, that really worked for them, but you know what? I don't think that's going to work for us.
That's true.
I think I see a lot of that in you as well. As we look through other companies and it's like, oh man, this works so well for them and they totally blew up because of it. And then, you know, you've always had really good common sense to say, but you know what? It's not really, that's just not our thing. You know, I mean, we just wouldn't be successful at that. So
yeah, we're not like rah-rah out there guys. Some people are and they're really good at it. And that's how they kind of become popular and stuff. And I can't fake it. You know, it's like one of those things where I'm like, this is it. I'm not like Mr. Personality, that's for sure.
It happens.
Yeah.
Well, I think honestly that's a great place to kind of close down on. I'm excited. Like you said, I think that here at Porter, we're going to be continuing to refine what we feel like inspires people and what we've had experience and what inspires people. And I'm really excited. I know we've got some things in the pipeline that we can't totally you know, flesh out just yet, but some things that I really think are going to just hone in on that perspective so much. We're really excited for 2017. I think we're going into just a really good place as the business, and that's not just because you hired me, you know.
So you're supposed to say that, Derek.
Yeah, I know. I'm too Bambi-eyed right now. No, but it really is. I mean, as we've kind of sat down, you and I, over the last 2 months and had our moments of like, okay, what does 2017 look like for us? Where do we want to be in December? There's some really cool stuff. So I'm very excited about the future. And hopefully in 2018, we'll be sitting here a year from today thinking about it again and thinking how how wonderful everything is.
Yeah, it's funny when we did the topic, I'm just like, you know, it's the state of the gear industry kind of from our perspective because, you know, a company maybe like Taylor or, you know, Sir or someone, you know, someone, they would say the state of the industry is a lot different. I'm sure that they would say some similar things, but it's like, it's all perspective. You know, this is how we are looking at it right now. Some of it is just like, you know, it's like, just brutally looking at your business and saying like, okay, what needs to change? What do we need to do moving forward? I'm not really a big like business plan guy because I think, you know, stuff blows up. Life blows up. I mean, we have, you know, we had twins a year and a half ago and that really shook a lot of things up. And it's like, I didn't plan for having twins and I didn't plan for sleepless nights for almost 2 years. And I have to now take this business from like, you know, diapers to potty training. And I don't know how I'm going to do it with zero sleep, but you just keep trudging on and you keep working towards it. And, you know, there's a reason that we get up every single day and we come into here and we love our job because like, just like I said, we get those emails or we get, you know, we see people like using our pickups on stage. And you know, I remember wanting to be in a band, you know, and playing and just being out there. I'm like, that'd be so cool to travel and tour. And we talked with Steve a couple of weeks ago about like that touring life and all that. But now I realize, you know, like our goal is to give that to other people, is to basically like send our product out the door in a little box and say, I can't wait to see what people do with this. And that's really like, it's become more fun than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
You know, initially it was like, yeah, let's just like sell a few of these and pay my phone bill or something. And and now it's like, you know, it's cool to see that and to see, you know, guitar builders put them in there and they make these amazing guitars. And now it's like, wow, we got to be a part of what they created.
Yeah.
And then people make cool music and, you know, people send me their tracks out of the blue. And I was just like, man, that's so cool. Like you just did that on with the pickups. And like you wrote this song because you loved the sound of your guitar and maybe you hated it before. So I look at that stuff and sometimes I have to like go back there from time to time when business gets tough or when things, you know, our big decisions are looming or,
yeah,
or, you know, we deal with maybe a bunch of crazy emails in a week or something. You know, it's just like, you know, why we do what we do is very important to me and it's very important to us as a business. And I think everyone here really gets it. Everyone that works here really like understands, like we're doing something that's pretty cool. And there's a lot, you know, not to go on a soapbox a little bit, but there's a lot of people that, you know, that have other choices to, you know, play music, than playing music. So they can go and do something else or they can sit on their phones or whatever. And we're fighting this battle, like this very yeah. real battle. I mean, not to sound cheesy, but it's like, we want people to continue to be inspired. I mean, think of all the guitarists that have inspired us. If they never would have picked up a guitar, they never were inspired, like none of these players would be out there that we're listening to today. So I'm hoping that, you know, as we trudge through as a company, is like, you know, let's keep inspiring people. Let's find the next, you know, Stevie Ray Vaughan that we can get pickups to or whatever. Or, you know, maybe they pick up a builder guitar with our pickups and they're like, man, this is so awesome. I just love this whole package. And,
yeah,
you know, that becomes something bigger than just, you know, winding a coil and putting some wires on it, throwing it in the wax and sending it out the door, you know? So we're, we're trying to think broader and that we're about something more than just manufacturing something. Because if you talk to any guitarist, they kind of frown on like the big factory instruments, you know, they're like, man, they just have lost their soul or they've lost the life. And,
yeah.
And I get that, because people do want to be inspired and I think they still do. And, you know, maybe what you're saying before is there's a little bit of that, like, I want to be inspired. So I'm going to keep trying stuff until I'm inspired. And maybe that works for some people. But it's interesting. I think that's the way that we're hoping to approach this. And I too am excited for some of the things that some of the decisions that we've made, that are coming down the pipe and just the way that we're going to continue to kind of carve out our niche in this industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as we wrap up, I'd just like to say, I think from both of us, you know, thank you to everyone who's been supporting the business, supporting the podcast. I mean, all this stuff, you know, we truly love what we get to do here. And so I just want to thank everybody because it wouldn't happen without the people who are willing to give us a chance or whatever it may be. We're going to keep on going. Next week, we've got an interview with Rock Matthews of Matthews Effects. That'll be a fun
Rick,
one.
Rick Matthews. Oh. I wrote Rock on the.
See, this is where
Rock Matthews. We'll have to introduce him as Rock Matthews next
there
week.
We go.
See, I'm sorry,
Derek. This is why we should talk beforehand because I don't know all these cool people yet. So
that's one of those things where I was like, you said it. I'm like, why did you say Rock? And then I looked down at the thing that I typed and it says Rock. So that is completely my fault. And Rick, if you're listening to this one, we apologize. Hopefully he still wants to be on the show next week.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, now that I'll meet Rick and Brian just wrote down the I in there just in case later.
Oh man.
No. That's wonderful. Well, Rick Matthews of Matthews Effects is going to be on next week. We're excited to sit down and talk with him a little bit about the company, just all that different stuff.
I love it. Brian Rock Matthews. It sounds like
I really thought it was going to be
wrestler.
A cool name.
Yeah, it sounds like he's like a big muscle guy, but he's definitely not a big muscle guy. So,
it's wonderful.
Okay, well, we should play this portion of the interview next week for the show just to be like, hey, Rick, this is your introduction. because he's a cool guy and he makes great pedals, but we kind of butchered that. So
yeah, it's true. But we're going to leave it in because
I think so.
This is the Porter Pickups podcast and we're real here.
Yes.
Real raw. Real rock. We'll see you guys later.